Dustin and Samantha just turned 60 with $1.3 million, and they want to retire and move for good to Arizona. But will the debt that they carry into retirement cause this plan to backfire? Stay tuned for the red, yellow, or green light assessment coming up next. Welcome to Rise in Retirement,
where it is our goal to help you optimize and simplify your financial plan.
I am Jet.
And I am Taco.
We are financial advisors at W.A. Smith Financial Group, a firm trusted by thousands of people just like you all over the U.S. to help you focus more on your life and worry less about your money. And today's case example is Dustin and Samantha.
Yeah. So Dustin and Samantha both just turned 60 years old. They have $1.3 million saved up for retirement, and their dream in retirement is to get out to the warm weather in Arizona and live there permanently.
Yeah, and you know, they're originally from Arizona, and their jobs took them to the cold Midwest, so they're ready to get back there. But here's the kicker, and this is what the case is all about. They've got some debt, so they want to retire. Now, essentially, but they got a debt scenario that we have to unpack here, and we're going to help you understand whether or not that debt scenario is going to cause any issues or potentially delay their plan. So,
yeah, it's going to be a good one. And if you find today's video helpful, make sure that you like, share, subscribe, so that we can help many individuals just like you. When it comes to your retirement picture.
Yeah, and check out riseinretirement.com. We have a link to that landing page in the description below. We'll talk to you about Rise in Retirement more here in just a bit. So let's unpack their case example. We've got Dustin and Samantha.
Yep.
Both 60-year-old. So we got a 60-year-old couple here. They've got $1.3 million saved up for retirement. They're ready to retire now.
Yeah.
And they want to move to Arizona, as we mentioned. They want to be closer to friends and family. Unpack some of the details here.
Yeah. So again, $1.3 million saved up. They have two adult children who are not on payroll anymore. Yeah. So they're doing well. No grandchildren. $850,000 of their 1.3 is saved up in the 401k.
So we got qualified.
So pre-tax money
there.
Yep. The remaining $450,000 is post-tax, with 400 of that being in a trust account.
Okay.
And the other 50 is just in a savings bank account right now.
Got it.
Currently spending $6,500 per month for normal living expenses. However, we talked about debt. They still have $200,000 on their home, which is a 3.15% mortgage interest rate. Not too bad. They have 10 years remaining on that payment schedule, and they're paying an additional $1,950 per month for that mortgage.
Got it.
They also have, and this is the bad one, I would say, Jed, is they have $30,000 of credit card debt that they racked up for some projects, larger projects.
Adds up quick sometimes, doesn't it?
Unpredictable expenses they incurred that they didn't want to, you know, pull out of the portfolio.
What kind of interest are they paying on that?
14.99%. On this credit card.
I looked at the national average, and I don't know how accurate this was, but the national average on that was about 28%. So that's actually a pretty good rate for credit card debt, but still 15%.
Overall bad, yeah.
Yep.
They're paying a minimum monthly payment right now, and that is just it's $600 per month.
So how much are they paying in debt payments? So just the mortgage and the credit card.
So $2,550 a month on the debt in addition to their $6,500 for living expenses.
Got it.
So together, $9,050 per month, which pretty much is what they're pulling in with their jobs while they're still working. They're pulling in about $10,000 per month. They looked into what their lifestyle would be, what kind of expenses would it be if they, move back to Arizona. And they would need basically an additional $1,000 per month just with cost of living, property taxes, things like that, that are going up. So the $6,500 now becomes $7,500 per month for just basic living expenses. The houses they're looking at purchasing in Arizona would be about $425,000. Their current home is worth between $325,000 to $350,000. Mm-hmm. Again, they owe that $200,000 still on that. From an income standpoint, Social Security is the only thing they'll have coming in that they could elect at 62, obviously, at the earliest.
Whatever time makes the most sense,
or
right?
Whatever their plan says. So, lot to unpack there, Jet. I went over a lot of details. What are the big things to look at when it comes to the debt?
Well, you got a couple of roads that you can take here, I think. So, and this is kind of personal preference. I think over in my years as a financial advisor and dealing with clients, I think everybody approaches this the way that they're most comfortable. So the first thing you want to look at is, should we develop a plan to pay this debt off now? And do we have a likely road where that makes sense? So you mentioned $200,000 on the mortgage, still another $30,000 in credit card debt. They've got $230,000 of debt that they could pay off. They've got that trust account, so they could take a distribution from there, which would maybe limit some of the taxation versus taking it from their qualified funds.
Yep.
And so they could get that paid off, but that decreases what they're entering retirement with. Then if they pay that debt off and they buy a house in Arizona for $100,000 more than what they would sell their home here in the Midwest for, they got to take another $100,000 out to, basically make that purchase and have no debt walking into Arizona retirement. Right. So I like that idea.
Yeah.
Because I think when you enter retirement and you don't have any debt, there's a different type of psychological advantage that you have. It makes everything a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So I would probably lean towards advising them that way, but that's certainly not the only way that they could go.
Yeah. And I'd say at a bare minimum, the $30,000 worth of credit card debt, you should have paid that yesterday.
Agree.
You got to get rid of that. And that's, freeing up $600 per month cash flow. That's a no brainer to be able to pull that $30,000 off of your trust or your bank account.
Yep.
And get rid of that debt ASAP.
You can make the argument, and you hear this all the time, and this makes perfect sense. You got that 450,000, or it was 400,000 in a trust account.
Yep.
Let's say that trust account's invested and it's earning interest and it's making good money. You can certainly make the argument that, hey, rather than paying off the mortgage, which is only a 3.15% rate, let's just let that go. We're making more interest on the money that's in the trust account that we would use to pay that mortgage off. But you can't make that argument with a 15% credit card.
Right.
There is a fine line, though, between carrying that mortgage debt in with that line of thinking, because while mathematically that makes a lot of sense, again, I go back to the freedom that you feel and what it does to the overall picture if you just decide to pay that off. So I think that there's an argument that could be made either way.
It is. I mean, you're talking a 3.15% interest rate. So not bad there.
Yeah.
There's questions that need answered, such as, how's the trust allocated?
Yeah.
If the trust is in a money market or, things of that nature, then to me, it's no brainer. Go get rid of the debt. The argument could be made that, hey, we're making, 6, 7, 8% on this money. Why would we pay off, the 3.15% interest rate? It becomes a cash flow. Mm-hmm. It's all about cash flow at this point. So I don't want to say that there's a perfect answer on that piece. Again, credit card debt, get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
That mortgage, I think there's got to be a plan in place.
Yeah.
Maybe you speed up the 10 years, versus just paying minimum payments and, wait until 10 years until it's paid off. If we look at them keeping that debt and making that payment on the debt, it basically, it's an 8% withdrawal rate
from the asset pool. Yeah.
From what they need, the 6,500 plus the mortgage. Now this whole thing's about, they want to move though.
Yeah.
And so what happens when they sell their house for $325,000 or $350,000, let's say, they owe the $200,000. So we use that to pay off the $200,000. But now we got to go buy a $425,000. So we're either,
or in the same scenario,
we're back in the same scenario, but we added $75,000 basically.
Do you take a withdrawal from the trust account that and just pay the house off and not have that debt? Or are you taking on a new mortgage?
Yeah.
Because if you take on the new mortgage, now you're factoring in that mortgage principal and interest payment into your monthly needs. And then that affects your withdrawal rate.
Well, and what's happened with interest rates too, since they're, you know, 3.15, now it's probably double that. And so the cash flow, again, it's going to be pretty tough. So when we look at the scenario, Jet, we laid out of just saying, hey, let's pay all this off.
Yep.
Let's go to Arizona with a new house paid, you know, full cash flow taken care of. $7,500 per month is what we need now. There is no debt.
We started with $1.3 million, and in doing that, we come out with roughly $970,000 when it's all said and done.
Correct.
Right. So we're entering this new retirement with $970,000, but no debt.
And mostly pre-tax money now.
Yeah.
They depleted. They used most of the
trust account money.
Correct.
Yeah.
So assuming they do retire now, we have at a minimum 2 years before Social Security can kick in, meaning we need that full $7,500 per month. So we're talking about a 9.3% withdrawal rate on their portfolio for at least 2 years before Social Security can kick in at that point. So, you know, there's some factors we can look at, right? They can look at number one for their plan. When do we take Social Security? Is the plan to take it at 62, or can they continue to defer? Should we be looking at a smaller house in Arizona that doesn't cost as much as what we were looking at? Do they continue to work a couple more years? Or is there anywhere that we can reduce our budget? You know, at the end of the day, these are all factors we have to look at in this.
Well, and they all make positive impact. Even if you make a small change in one or more of those, you know, coming up here in just a second, we're going to give you the red, yellow, or green light on Dustin and Samantha. Before we do that, head over to RiseInRetirement.com. There's a link in the description below. We mentioned it earlier. You can request a retirement tune-up financial review. That's a free consultation with an advisor here on staff at WA Smith Financial. We can meet with you virtually. We meet with people all over the U.S. You want to get your situation looked at specifically in the type of context that we talk about here. That is your ticket. Request a tune-up. But the other great thing that you can do amongst the resources that are there is sign up for Ascend 360 Insider.
Yeah, make sure to join that. It's a weekly video. It's completely free. It comes to you every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern time from our CEO and founder, just packed with information regarding retirement and tips for you to guide you through retirement. So all on RiseInRetirement.com.
Dustin and Samantha are a yellow light to me.
Yeah.
Depending on how certain they want to be about their success, I may advise them to wait just a little longer here. I think a couple of short years, this is my main takeaway, a couple of short years of deferring these choices and getting that debt paid down a little bit is going to make a huge difference.
Yeah.
So I think if they waited until even just 62, 63, they're still young, they're still able, they still got a long journey ahead of them in retirement. I think that they're going to be in much better position, and they have a less that they have to leave to chance.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'd say, you know, key takeaway is that the importance of a fully comprehensive plan, because they're what they need here is we can't sit here and give a blanket answer to any of these things, right? Yeah. Of whether you pay it all off up front or not. You have to do a deep dive into your own personal situation to see what makes the most sense. You know, what we didn't discuss here is how are we allocated? You know, what's their risk tolerance going to look like? You know, just there's so many different things that we need to look at specifically for them to identify the right plan moving forward. You can't start early enough.
Well, they have a dream to move to Arizona, and you know, a good financial advisor is going to want to help them turn that dream into reality. And you don't want to cut corners. You don't want to skip things. So best advice is make sure you get a good second opinion, good plan put forth in front of you for a situation like this. We can help you do that. What you should do now is like, share, subscribe, turn that bell notification on. Make sure you're alerted of all of our new content that we post here, and head over to RiseInRetirement.com. A lot of educational resources there for you.
Make sure you drop a comment below on any situation that you'd like Jet and I to talk about here on Rise in Retirement. We'd love to feature that. But we're out of time here today. That's it for today's episode. We look forward to seeing you again on Rise in Retirement.